We're taking up here, and we're in Genesis 29, and the title of this is Family. Now, family is a great blessing. Sometimes it's the other thing, but it's still family. All right. Now, Jacob, we got a problem. Because Abraham was promised that his descendants would be like the stars in multitude. And everywhere they stepped, they would own the land. Well, here he is at the end of his life. He owns one piece of property, and that's a tomb in Mamre. And he's got a wife, and she's barren, Sarah. Well, there's a miracle that comes, and Isaac is born. And Isaac, he goes up and he finds Rebecca. And it's a beautiful story. And now we got this guy named Trickster, Jacob. And he's had to run because he's trying to kill his brother, and his brother's trying to kill him, and he doesn't have any girlfriends. In fact, he's on the lamb. He's running. And he's not just running, he's running off the map. He's up there at Haran, and here comes Trickster. Well, now, that's where Uncle Laban lives. Uncle Laban is Abraham's father. See, he is the senior trickster, okay? He's playing Yoda to the Padawan. That's a Star Wars reference. Jacob is going to meet his match. And so he's going to a place that he's never been, and it's Paddan Aram, and it's where Abraham had stopped on the way to the Holy Land. That's where his father had died. That's where his brother stayed. He's well known in that area. And here comes Jacob. Well, he's looking around. He doesn't know anybody. He sees this bunch of shepherds. And they're all gathering around this well. And he asked them where he is. And they said, Haran. Well, Jacob, he's a take-charge individual. He comes up to these people he has not met, and he says, you know, you really shouldn't be doing it like this. You got all these sheep here. You need to water the cattle. Now, the idea is we still got a lot of sunlight here. You water the cattle and send them out. They can graze, and then you can bring the sheep in. He's sort of like an efficiency expert. And these guys, they say, well, we're waiting because we got to have several of the shepherds come in because we can't move the stone off the well. It's a multi-man task here. So they're just all standing around. And Jacob says, you know, you really need to do this more efficiently. They said, we don't do that around here. That's not the way we do it. Well, he starts asking, and he says, do you know somebody named Laban? And they said, oh, yeah, his house is near here. In fact, here comes his daughter, Rachel. She's a shepherdess. That's the only time in Scripture that the word shepherdess appears. And, son, she is beautiful. Her name means ewe lamb. And she's got a beautiful form. And she's got a beautiful face, and Jacob is quite smitten. And she's coming to water her sheep, and you know what he does? He moves a stone by himself. Excalibur. And everybody is awed, and he's going to let her water her sheep. Well, he runs up and kisses her. Wait a minute. They're second cousins. And that's what they do in that society. And there's no problem with this. And he says, where's your father? Well, here he comes. He's running to greet Jacob. And it's like the prodigal son's father. You don't do this. Inside, this patriarch is running down to greet Jacob. And, of course, the hospitality rules in that part of the world. He invites Jacob to stay with him a month. Well, so far, so good. But Jacob, the trickster, has met his match with Uncle Laban. Now, he's got two daughters. One of them is named Wild Ox. And she has weak eyes. And her eyes might have been delicate. They might have been weak. And she might have gone around squinting at things. We just don't really know. All we know is Jacob's not too interested in Wild Ox. But she's the elder. And then the question is, okay, well, what's Laban going to do with Wild Ox? Well, Laban has some tricks up his sleeve, and he's got long sleeves. So he invites Jacob to stay with them for a month, and Jacob does. Well, Jacob is smitten with ewe lamb, Rachel, and he asks Laban if he could, like, marry her. And Laban says, okay, if you will work for me 7 years. Now, remember, Jacob is a take charge individual. He is an efficiency expert. He's already proved that in the passage. And so Laban is getting a supervisor who knows how to run things for 7 years, and then he's gonna give him ewe lamb, Rachel. Well, 7 years pass, and he's been working hard, probably for less than optimal pay, and the time comes, and he reminds Laban, and Laban says, oh, yeah, it's time for you to get married. So they had this wedding feast. And he probably gets a little weak-eyed himself. And the time comes for him to take his wife home. And she's probably wearing a veil. So he takes her and he takes her to the house. And they have a, like, honeymoon. And when the morning light breaks and he looks, it's Wild Ox. And not only does he have Wild Ox, he has her handmaiden. Now, what do you do here? Okay? So he goes to Laban. And Laban, he says, hey, now look, we contracted for you, lamb. And I woke up and behold, Wild Ox. That's the way it says in Hebrew. Behold, Wild Ox. And Laban says, well, we don't do it that way in this country. I mean, it's the second time he's heard this. He says, I tell you what, if you will work for me 7 more years, I'll give you ewe lamb. Now, Laban is no dummy. He doesn't withhold Rachel from Jacob for 7 years. Even Laban won't do that. He gives her to him up front. So now Jacob has two wives and two handmaidens. Okay. You say, what in the world is going on here? Well, God had allowed polygamy, but he didn't command it. See, the problem with polygamy is you're going to favor one wife over another. And you're going to have a lot of intrigue, and you're going to have hurt feelings and so forth. Now, here's the deal. Jacob loves Ewan. She is gorgeous. And Leah, not so much. So she does not feel loved. She does not feel wanted. What does God Almighty do? He opens her womb, and she's cranking them out like nobody's business. She is having baby boys all over the place. And she's naming them in a way that'll dig. Like, the first one is born, and his name is, you would know him as Reuben, but if you translate it, looky there, a son. So the firstborn is, look, a son. And then she conceived again, and she has another son, and she calls him Simeon. That means, hey, the Lord heard me. All right, hey, you lamb, Simeon. Then she conceived again. It's getting a little repetitive. And she said, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I've borne him three sons. And she called his name Attached. And we know him as Levi. All right, the ancestors of the Levites. All right. Then she has another one. And she conceived again. And she says, now I'm going to praise the Lord. And his name is Praise Judah. Now, what is Ulam doing in all this time? You know, she's watching this. And see, God, what he's doing? He is founding the 12 tribes of Israel. Jacob is going to be called Israel. All right, now, he has some of these 12 sons. Some of them are not from Leah or Rachel. Some of them are from those handmaidens. But there are 12 sons, and each one is one of the tribes of Israel. All right, so what have we got here? Well, in spite of the human trickery and tricking the trickster, God is establishing a family. Jacob, or Israel, becomes the progenitor of the 12 tribes. Okay? Now, Rachel, she does have a son. And she becomes the matriarch, and her tomb is in Bethlehem. And then you get the 12 tribes. And those, you know, you got to remember, God promised Abraham that he would have a multitude of descendants. In spite of the trickery, in spite of tricking the trickster, in spite of the sleight of hand, in spite of human intrigue, God has his will. God has his way. Now, we have an application here. And that is, you know, if you get married, make sure that you go home with the one that you married. Now, this is the first thing that occurs to me when I'm looking at this. Okay, check that one off. And then the second thing is, God is going to have his way in spite of the intrigues of man. And so the Pentateuch starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it ends in a tomb in Egypt. But God's promises are sure, and his covenant is not only renewed with Isaac, but it's renewed with Jacob. God becomes known as the God of Jacob too. And Jesus told the Sadducees, God, he says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is building for eternity here. He's not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Praise him. Let's close with a prayer. Father, we thank you for the Abrahamic covenant, and in your seed, all the nations will be blessed. We thank you for the Davidic covenant. Of his reign, there will not be an end. We thank you that though hand join in hand, they will not go unpunished. And all the covenant, all the promises of God are sure. And in Christ, they are all amen, all yes. And Father, we thank you for remembering your covenants, and thank you for giving us a reason and a hope. Help us to shine and to share Christ, because as Daniel says, the one who lead many to righteousness will shine as the stars forever and ever. Father, we are marching in an army that cannot lose, and we're building a temple of praise with living stones that will not be torn down in this age, nor the age to come, nor the ages after that. In Jesus' name, amen.